And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests is discussing a fascinating topic, no two of which are alike. My next guest is the highest-scoring American gymnast in Olympic history. We'll discuss his ROV principles that he learned as an Olympic gymnast and apply them to our work and personal lives. And if you want to call in and ask a question or join in the conversation with Peter Vidmar, you can call me at 639-0008. Peter Vidmar has over two decades of experience helping people throughout the country to realize their own potential. He drives home his message of risk, originality, and virtuosity, that's ROV for short, and discusses how they apply to success in business and in life. Peter is the highest scoring American gymnast in Olympic history, as I said. He's the winner of numerous national and international titles. Peter finished his successful career at the 1984 Olympic Games, and as the USA men's gymnastics team captain, he and his teammates in America were the first team to win gold in their stunning upset victory over the defending world champion, the People's Republic of China. He went on to win the silver medal in the individual all-around competition, the first American to have won an Olympic all-around medal, and with a perfect score of 10, he captured the gold medal on the pommel horse. He's a leader in the Olympic movement today. He's the chairperson of the board of USA Olympics, and Peter has worked for many years as a gymnast commentator for CBS Sports and ESPN, and he continues to work as a journalist and a broadcaster at each of the Summer Olympics. Joining us from Southern Orange County, California. Hi, Peter. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
I am terrific. Thank you so much for being my guest on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. It's truly an honor. Most of my listeners remember you leading the U.S. Olympics team to victory over the Chinese in the 1984 Olympics right here in Los Angeles. Looking back on that experience, what stands out in your mind as the highlight, both for you and for the team, from the 1984 Olympics?
Well, my highlight, and I think the team's highlight, was really the same moment. I remember getting on the victory stand for the team gold medal. I went on to win some individual medals after that, but as I stood up there with my teammates, I looked around the arena, and what startled me was the most overwhelming emotion was gratitude. I was so grateful for all those that helped me to get where I got on that victory stand. I saw my parents there. I saw, you know, my coach was there on the floor, the people at USA Gymnastics that worked so hard for all of us. And I was just so grateful for all of them and what they did for me. My wife was working for Bud Greenspan, who did the Olympic film, and
right.
She was there in the arena. And I was just really overwhelmed with gratitude.
Well, most of us really do forget that even in an individual sport like gymnastics, that it takes a lot of people to get there. And I'm glad that you pointed that out in your answer. You have to be grateful for not only your parents, but all of the people that support you. Now, Peter, was the 1984 Olympics really the emergence of the United States as a gymnastics powerhouse?
Well, I think it was. Certainly with the men's team victory and some of the individual medals that we won, and then also with the success of the women with Mary Lou Retton, the women won the team silver medal. A few others won a number of medals. And ever since that time, we've been in the hunt for medals at every World Championships and Olympic Games ever since. In fact, the U.S. team is the only team in the last two Olympics that had both the men and the women on the team podium during the games. Our men have won medals, our women have won medals at each of the last two Olympic Games. And I just got back from Tokyo at the World Gymnastics Championships, where our women won the gold medal. Our men were one one-hundredth of a point away from the silver medal.
Wow.
They won the bronze. And we won a total of, I think, 4 golds and 3 bronze medals. And so we're really well positioned for the games coming up in London, and I'm excited about our athletes and all that they're doing for us right now.
Well, there's a lot to be proud of, Peter, no doubt about it. Now, talk to me about the transition, though, from being an Olympic medalist and a team captain to a business person. I mean, that's quite a jump. How'd you make the transition, and what similarities do you see between sports and business?
Well, certainly it was unplanned. After the Olympic Games, I was asked by the company that my father worked for, a large Fortune 500 company, was having their biannual chairman's meeting, where the chairman of the board and the presidents of all the divisions of this company and their spouses would travel to a certain site once every 2 years to have a series of meetings. And so they asked, just because it was, you know, their employee's son that just won the medal at the Olympic Games, they thought they'd bring me out to the event. And I was eager to go because it was in Bermuda.
Nice.
And I hadn't been outdoors for 12 years. So my wife and I went, and I was fortunate that I was one of the last speakers of a 3-day meeting. They gave me the chance to sit in and listen to experts in business and in management and in innovation. And the theme of the meeting was called Adding a New Dimension. They were trying to get this very large company to think like entrepreneurs, to be more innovative, more creative. And as I listened to all these experts speak, I kept thinking, well, that happens in my sport all the time. Oh, this happens in my sport all the time. Oh, that happens all the time. And so I was taking voracious notes, thinking, maybe there's some applications here. And so I give a very primitive version of what I give now to companies, and I used as kind of the framework a judging category of gymnastics that we call ROV, and that stands for risk, originality, and virtuosity. And so in my sport, in order to get that perfect 10, you had to have those added dimensions of risk, originality, virtuosity. You had to take risks. You had to innovate, and you had to perfect what you did.
Yeah, no.
So as a result, that turned into a nice business topic, and I've kind of been the ROV guy, and I talk about risk-taking, about innovation and creativity, and really how we can all push the envelope personally and professionally. And so it's been a really fun experience for me to learn so much about so many corporations and to be a part of their meetings and to share some of that that application from sports to business.
Well, the application is clearly there, Peter, and that's why I asked you to be my guest on the show today. I want to break it down for my listeners who might be listening, because many of my listeners listen at work or perhaps driving around in their car to a sales meeting, things like that. So ROV stands for risk, originality, and virtuosity. Now, there's a word we don't use often in our everyday language, virtuosity. But I'm going to start with risk. Talk to us about the risk-failure dynamic that's there that we have both in gymnastics and also in business as well.
Well, in my sport, we're required to take risks. The judges expect you to kind of go out on a limb sometimes, and that's a pretty scary thing in the business world. No one wants to fail. And yet, my greatest learning experiences really only came after my failures. I use, for an example, a very vivid example of when I was competing at the World Gymnastics Championships, and I was in second place going into the finals on the horizontal bar. I had a chance to become the first ever American world champion on the horizontal bar, and I had the worst mistake of my life in a major competition, and I was devastated. I was just crushed by it, and yet, from that mistake, I really took a long look at what I had been doing, how I had been training that skill that I failed on, and for the next 6 months, I corrected it. I spent about 15 more minutes a day on that skill every day, and at the Olympic Games in Los Angeles, doing the same performance that I blew it on, I ended up scoring a perfect 10. And so looking back, I could say I'm so glad that I failed. And I learned from that failure. And many times our greatest learning experiences will only come after some of our biggest mistakes. And I think as a boss, for example, we have to allow sometimes for our people to take those risks. And when they do make a mistake, to not jump on them and kill them for having made a mistake. Instead saying, hey, how are we going to learn from this?
All right.
Many times what you'll get in the end is something much, much better.
Without a doubt. But let's talk about the two fundamental issues there from that great life lesson that you learned. First was overcoming the fear of failure. You mean you had to decide that you were going to take a risk. How did you, in your mind, even as a world-class gymnast, decide that you were going to get over that fear of taking the risk and just go ahead and do it anyway?
Well, at that moment, to me, I'll be honest with you, it didn't seem like a risk. I thought I was prepared. I thought I had that skill down. I thought I was ready to perform it. And I performed it in the preliminary competition, but in the finals, all of a sudden, I didn't feel that comfortable with it. And I realized that I really didn't have it under my belt like I thought I did. But I decided to go for it anyways because I knew it was my only chance to become a world champion probably at any time in my life. This could be my only chance. So I thought, well, I'm going to go for it. And I did, and I blew it. But what I learned from that was, you know what, you didn't have it under your belt, Peter. You thought you had it down. I needed to train more on that. I needed to really perfect the skill. And the next 6 months saw me giving that little extra effort that is so important in most things that we do, and I was able to perform it correctly. So that by the time the games rolled around, what was risky in the eyes of the judges was somewhat commonplace for me because I really had prepared it appropriately.
What a great life lesson. My guest is Peter Vidmar, an Olympic gymnast and obviously gold medal winner, led our team in 1984 to great success over the Chinese. Peter, let's turn our attention to the O in the ROV, which is originality. Now here, you know, the old adage goes, you're known by the company that you keep. So Charlie Munger's doing okay emulating what Warren Buffett does. Steve Ballmer is doing okay emulating what Bill Gates did. So why isn't it a good idea to emulate people who have been successful before you?
Because Munger's not Warren Buffett, and Ballmer's not Bill Gates. In my sport, to be the gold medalist, you have to be the Bill Gates. You want to be the gold medalist, not the silver medalist. And so as a result, we've got to try to do not just what others do, but do something that others even can't do and haven't done. And so in my sport, we have to stop watching the other guy. I used to go to these big competitions like the World Championships, a World Cup, look across the gym, see a great gymnast from China or Russia do something that we've never seen before and say, wow, did you see that skill? Why didn't I think of that? I run back to the gym the next week, and we learn it. Sometimes, you know, just like that, and we say, oh, it wasn't even that hard. And come back to the next important event thinking that I've got it down, you know, very impressed with myself because now I can do that skill and you're not so tough, and walk in the gym and see the same guy, this time doing something even more innovative and more unique, and we say, wow, did you see that? Why didn't I think of that? Run back to the gym the next week, and we're always playing catch-up. And one of the reasons why we won our team gold medal at the Olympic Games was we stopped playing catch-up. We took it upon ourselves to do things on our own that were unique and original, and I use many examples of that. The perfect one is my teammate who went to UCLA with me, Mitch Gaylord, did an amazing skill on the horizontal bar called the Gaylord Flip. He invented it.
Yep.
And to this day, there's hardly any gymnast in the world that can even do the skill still, and that's over 20 years later.
Wow. That's incredible. My guest is Peter Vidmar. So, Peter, talk to me then about the balance that comes between playing it safe and being yourself. You've got to strike that balance whether you're in business or in sports. How did you, I mean, you talked about you stopped emulating the others, but when did you and how did you decide to take the risk to be original?
Well, you have to also realize what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. And my coach was so patient with me. He would see me trying some amazing skill, but I just knew I could do it. And after seeing me struggle and fail after a week or two, he finally walked up to me and say, Pete, it's really noble that you want to do that skill, but let's be honest, you can't. you don't have what it takes. And that's why I don't buy into you can be anything you want, you can do anything you want in life, because that's not true. I will never, ever dunk a basketball. I'm a 5'5" gymnast. It's not going to happen. And so I'm not going to set unrealistic goals for myself. But in my sport, I know that there's certain things that I can do, and we have to find out what our strengths are and really capitalizing on them, while we also still don't ignore our weaknesses and try to make sure we can strengthen those.
All right. My guest is Peter Vidmar. So that brings us to the V of the ROV formula, which is virtuosity. Like I said, a word that we don't normally use in our day-to-day life. So tell us, first of all, what do you mean by virtuosity?
Well, I think if we kind of think of the word virtuoso, someone who really is an artist at what they do. Virtuosity means in my sport that you take a skill or a combination of skills that maybe everybody else can do or everybody else has done before, and you simply do it better. You do something to the ultimate, and that really is perfecting what you do. For example, in the business world, you might be providing a similar service as your competitor, a similar product as your competitor, but you present it in a different way. You give customer service like no one else. And it really is about perfection. And the key to perfecting what we do, whether it's a presentation or whether it's a performance in a sport, is the most unglamorous, boring stuff of life, and that's called repetition, repetition, repetition. And so I do lots of routines over and over again trying to perfect them so that when I raise my hand and signal the judge, I know I have a chance to do something perfectly. And I had those moments where I had to be perfect. To win the gold medal in the pommel horse, I was tied with Li Ning of China going into the finals. He went up right before me, and he scored a perfect 10. Now, I'm pretty good at math, and so I knew that in order for me to win the gold medal, it had to be perfect. And as the old saying goes, when the time to perform has arrived, the time to prepare has passed. And fortunately, I was prepared because I had done that repetition over and over again. I'd done that routine thousands of times. And I was prepared to do it, and fortunately I was able to do a perfect performance, at least in the judge's eyes.
And you did. But the thing that I took away from this segment of your talk about virtuosity is we all know the expression, practice makes perfect. That's not true. You have a different spin on that. Tell us, what's that spin? Because I like this so much better.
Yeah, well, and I kind of lead the audiences on when I pause and say, practice makes, and the audience always shouts out perfect, and I say wrong. Practice makes permanent. Because what you practice over and over becomes permanent behavior, so you got to practice correctly. So every day in the gym, when I would perform a routine in practice, I would close my eyes and imagine that I was at the Olympic Arena, that there were 15,000 people in the stands, that there were 2 billion watching me on television, and I had only one chance to make this routine successfully, or we're going to lose. And then my heart would start to pound. Even if it's the end of a 6-hour day in the gym, I could get that nervous adrenaline that comes usually only in competition, and I could feel the pressure of the crowd and the judges surrounding me for that performance, so that when I performed in the gym, in the workout environment, then I could somewhat try to emotionally duplicate that moment at the Olympic Games. So the other model that we had was practice as if it's competition, but compete as if it's practice. So when I got to the Olympic Games, when I was under all that pressure with all those people watching me, I closed my eyes and imagined I was back at the UCLA gym, just doing one more routine at the end of a long, tiring day. And it kind of got my emotions to balance out.
No, that is great. All right, Peter, now let's where the rubber meets the road here. I'm going to give you a practical example because a lot of people listening to the sound of our voice are in business. They're business owners themselves. So how would you use your ROV principles if you were an independent business person? Let's say you were a plumber. How would you use ROV to make your plumbing business stand out?
Well, one thing I'm going to say is I'm not an expert, so I'm not going to break down industries, but I can have someone ask themselves, am I pushing the envelope? Am I taking enough risk? Am I really going out on a limb to make my business or my performance better? And what am I doing compared to my competition? Am I being innovative? Am I doing it just like everybody else? Because if that's the case, I'm going to get the same results as everybody else. But if I do something a little bit differently, how can I stand out relative to my competition out there? And when it comes to virtuosity, I can ask myself, do I really try to be perfect at what I do? Do I really try to give the best customer service possible? Am I always kind? Am I always attentive to my client or my customer's needs? And do I do it every single time? Because that's perfection. It's not easy, but if I have a vision in my mind that it's attainable, am I focusing on those things? And so those just the way that we approach each of these aspects of our business can make a difference.
It certainly can. My guest has been Peter Vidmar, Olympic medalist and now motivational speaker. Peter, if people are excited by what they hear, they're intrigued, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about your speaking, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Just go to myname.com. Go to petervidmar.com, and you can take a look at some of the things that I do and provide. And it's just been a fun thing. I never planned on doing this. I got my degree in economics at UCLA, but ever since that first opportunity I had to be in front of that company, I learned so much, and I was so excited about the possibilities of being able to share an important message that it's been really a lot of fun.
Well, it has. And, Peter, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks.